bow our heads for prayer together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can gather together in your name this morning. We pray that you'd open your word to us. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I'd like to open this morning with this question. Have you recently, or indeed ever, reflected on how much, as a person, you matter to God? This reflection should, of course, never be done in a proud, self-centered way, but with a sense of wonder and amazement that the God of all creation made you as a unique and special individual and redeemed you through his one and only Son. This coming week, traditionally called Holy Week, is a good time for all of us to reflect on the extraordinary lengths that God has gone to in order to demonstrate his unconditional love towards each one of us. And today, Palm Sunday, is the first day of that special week. It's the day when we remember and celebrate Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. He arrived in the city to fulfill the mission for which he was born, the mission to be the Savior of the world. Just a day or so before this triumphant arrival in Jerusalem was a less heralded departure from Jericho, that famous ancient city. Remember, the walls of Jericho came down? It's just 20 k's from the capital of Jerusalem. Jericho was the penultimate stop on Jesus' long journey by foot from Capernaum in the north to Jerusalem in the south, a journey of about 150 k's. His brief ministry in Jericho, now complete, with Zacchaeus the main beneficiary, Jesus now focuses on the final stage of his journey to Jerusalem and his certain death there. Jesus had told the disciples back in verse 33 of chapter 10 in Mark, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise." Jesus and his disciples are on the outskirts of Jericho, on the move, heading for Jerusalem, a large crowd accompanying them. Then suddenly, their departure is delayed by one man, a blind beggar. His unexpected encounter with Jesus would lead to the last miracle of healing in Mark's gospel. And so to my first heading, believing is seeing. Verse 46, "Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.'" Begging for a blind man in the Palestine of the first century was probably the only occupation open to him that would bring in any kind of income. No doubt he was out in all weathers, appealed to anyone who came by, and longed for the day when he would see. We know his name, Bartimaeus, which suggests that he became well known to the followers of Jesus, and what follows will demonstrate why. Bartimaeus would have heard the massive crowd approaching, perhaps even shouts and cheers for Jesus as he passed through. As soon as Bartimaeus was aware it was Jesus passing by, he shouted out, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Clearly, Bartimaeus knew Jesus' name and reputation. He knew he was from Nazareth and had now no doubt heard of the many miracles Jesus had performed, and blind though he was, he recognized the true identity of Jesus. He saw him for who he was and therefore cried out, "Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David was an exclusive Old Testament title for the Messiah, the anointed one of God, descended from David, of whom the prophets had spoken. All Israel was waiting for this son of David. And it took a blind man to recognize him. The chief priests and teachers of the law hadn't recognized him, and as Christ rightly predicted, they would soon condemn him to death. Then there was the rich young ruler who came to Jesus earlier in this very chapter and looked so promising. He called Jesus good teacher. He said how he tried to live an honorable life, and he clearly impressed the other disciples. But you know what? He walked away from Jesus. He didn't grasp who Jesus was. He didn't believe in him. He couldn't see him as blind Bartimaeus saw him, as the son of David, and of course, as we know, the son of God. Bartimaeus' shouting out from his begging spot wasn't popular with the crowd. Verse 48, many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." To many, Bartimaeus was an unwelcome voice in the great procession through Jericho. He was a distraction, a nuisance, and didn't know his place. His response? Shout louder. Verse 48, he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Don't you admire his persistence? He had a real need. He believed Jesus could meet it, and he certainly wasn't going to pipe down for anyone. By the way, if you're here this morning and you want to know more about the good news of Jesus Christ and explore knowing him personally in your own life, don't let anyone put you off. Talk to me or Peter or any regular member here at church. We'd love to help you. Don't give up seeking Jesus, because you'll discover he wants to find you far more than even you want to find him. You see, these people were keeping Bartimaeus from Jesus, just like the disciples had kept back the little children from meeting him earlier in this chapter, verse 13 onwards. Each time the same mistake was made. They thought, how could Jesus be interested in a small child? How could he be interested in a blind beggar? He's far too important for them. No, he's not. He came into this world for people just like them. That was the reason he came, to reach out to children, to beggars, to fishermen, tax collectors, to the rich and the old, the young and the poor. He came for everyone, so that everyone is welcome in his kingdom. He came to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And so to my second heading, the compassion of Jesus. Verse 49. Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. To my mind, one of the most startling and surprising incidents in Mark's gospel is right here in verse 49. Jesus has traveled over 100 k's on his long journey. He's just completed in his ministry in Jericho, or so it seemed. One assumes he's focused on the final few days of his life, which will involve betrayal, arrest, trial, and execution. A big crowd is moving with him out of the city. And then we read, Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." Stopped? With all that was on his mind, with a big daunting walk to Jerusalem still to come, with hordes of people amassed around him, he stops. You see what kind of a God we have, don't you? The apostle wrote, the apostle John, that God is love. And he was absolutely right. For one man, Jesus stops. He's going to die in a few days. He's going to be betrayed by Judas. He's got so much on his mind. He must be tired. He must be a little afraid of what's to come. And yet he stops for this man who's crying out, who the crowd don't give the time of day to. This man, though, had declared the true identity of Jesus. No one else had. He'd cried out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Others rebuke him and try to silence him. But Jesus says, "Call him." And do you notice the change in tone in the crowd as soon as Jesus invites Bartimaeus over? They call to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Such is the authority of Jesus that as soon as Jesus calls Bartimaeus over, the whole crowd join in. Bit of a change of tune. I'm reminded of the change of heart in the Anglican bishops of England over Billy Graham. It was back in the 1950s, before I was born. Mind you, I was the end of the 50s. Billy Graham was due to lead some big meetings in London. And many bishops, before he arrived, said some very derisory things about Billy Graham and his simple gospel presentation. All that changed when, shortly after arriving at Heathrow Airport, he got an invitation from the Queen to tea at Buckingham Palace. Suddenly the tone changed dramatically. Of course, Dr. Graham is a very fine preacher. Excellent, excellent chap, and he must come again. Well, Bartimaeus will have noticed the change of heart towards him. He's up on his feet in a flash, tossing his cloak to one side. Do you notice that? Just a little detail. It's an eyewitness account, isn't it? Peter, who helped Mark write his gospel, saw these incidents. This is history. This is real. This is truth. For any of you who may doubt that, this is a real account of something people saw and have recorded for us. Verse 50, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. Presumably some of the crowd or perhaps one or two of the disciples helped Bartimaeus find his way to Jesus. On meeting him, Bartimaeus is asked the most wonderful and remarkable question by Jesus. It's this: what do you want me to do for you? Here is the very Son of God in human form asking a blind street beggar how he would like to be helped. Once again, it is Jesus leading by example, the first acting as the servant of all, out of generous love, kindness, and compassion. This compassion of Jesus was surely more than even Bartimaeus could have dreamed of. What a question to be asked by Jesus himself. What do you want me to do for you? And Bartimaeus tells him, "Rabbi, I want to see." Jesus gave him the opportunity to articulate his obvious need of healing. He's physically blind. He wants to see, and he believed Jesus can truly help him. But Jesus doesn't perform an instant miracle. Rather, he invites Bartimaeus to express his faith in his own words. It's a big step for Bartimaeus. Would Jesus grant his request? He couldn't know for sure, but he could step out in faith and simply ask, "Rabbi, I want to see." Bartimaeus' reply is both respectful and honest. The word translated here as rabbi is in fact rabboni. It only comes once elsewhere in the New Testament. It's a Jewish form of address meaning my master. Yes, Jesus may take the form of the servant, but Bartimaeus knows he's the master, Rabboni. Notice too, there's no shopping list of requests. All Bartimaeus honestly wants is his sight. He doesn't abuse Jesus' generous offer by adding other things as well. So what will Jesus' response be to Bartimaeus' request? My third heading, Jesus commends his faith. Verse 52, "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. That persistent faith of Bartimaeus, which would not be quashed by the rebukes of the crowd, is warmly commended and quite wonderfully rewarded with full and immediate healing. There is a clear link between Bartimaeus' faith in Jesus' authority to heal and the healing itself. We find that link elsewhere in Jesus' healing miracles. For example, the woman healed of bleeding in Mark chapter 2. Jesus commended her faith. But the link between faith and healing isn't always there. For example, in Mark chapter 3, when the man with the shriveled hand is in the synagogue, he's healed by Jesus. Doesn't ask for it, it just happens. No mention is made of his faith. It seems to be that Jesus chooses to heal whoever he chooses to heal, although faith most certainly plays an important part in many of his healing miracles. In Bartimaeus' case, Jesus literally says to him, "Your faith has saved you." That's the word translated healed here. Your faith has saved you. Perhaps a double meaning is intended. He's been saved from a life of physical blindness, but also saved from a life of spiritual blindness. Well, he's certainly grateful anyway. He's told to go, but quite understandably, Bartimaeus does complete the opposite and follow Jesus. Well, you would, wouldn't you? Just got your sight. As far as you know, he was born blind. Wow, he truly is the son of David. I'm going to follow wherever he goes. He was just like Peter and Andrew, James and John. They left their nets and followed Jesus. Levi in the tax collector's office, Jesus called him, "Follow me." Up he got, left the office. We never know what his line manager said about that. They followed. Bartimaeus followed. And as I mentioned earlier, the fact that we know his name, a rarity in the healing miracles of Jesus, suggests he became a faithful disciple. And perhaps his father too, who singled out his name Timaeus, is mentioned. Maybe dad joined him. Wouldn't you, as a father, if your son was given sight by this man from Nazareth? That day in Jericho, over 2,000 years ago, Bartimaeus discovered something, and it's where I started. He discovered he mattered to God. Jesus, the Son of God, stopped just to talk to him and ask this blind beggar, "What do you want me to do for you?" As you will know, there's an opportunity towards the end of this service to receive prayer for healing. It's an opportunity to ask for such prayer, very much along the lines of James chapter 5, where those seeking healing are invited to call for dedicated church members to pray over them. Healing is not promised to everyone in Scripture, and we certainly wouldn't want to suggest here at St. Alfred's that everyone who is prayed for will be healed. But everyone who wants can be prayed for, and that can only be a good thing. The great Johnny Erickson, the Christian writer and speaker, who aged 18, became a quadriplegic as the result of a diving accident that went horribly wrong. She has spoken all over the world, written many books. She even paints and has art exhibitions. She paints with her teeth. Incredible woman. She's known people who would be completely healed. And she's asked about that, and she says, "Well, it's just a sneak preview of heaven." God has called her to be in that chair, she believes. And she's had a ministry all over the world. And people say, well, how can you believe in a God of love and you're in a wheelchair and you can't move? She's able to tell them. And she tells them the gospel, and many have come to faith through her testimony, have read her books, have seen the film made about her. And she knows that healing in this life is, in a sense, a sneak preview of heaven. In heaven, we'll all be given new bodies. How wonderful is that? But God is God, and God can do things today too. It's not the norm. We're not Jesus, we're not the apostles, but we can pray in Jesus' name. And as Bartimaeus discovered, Jesus has quite a deal of clout. Of course, your needs may not be for physical healing. You may have heard that question Jesus put to Bartimaeus, and it resonates with you. What do you want me to do for you? People may seek prayer for a whole range of issues which reflect their answer to that question. Such issues will include grief and bereavement, disappointment, difficulty in relationships, anxiety, struggling with life, spiritual dryness, seeking God's guidance for the future. There may be other issues that you would value prayer for at this time. And of course, the prayer teams recognize total confidentiality. You'd be welcome to come forward for prayer at the end of the service. You may not feel you need the prayer of others today, and of course, that's absolutely fine. It may not be necessary or appropriate for you. May I, though, encourage you to reflect on that question for yourself that the Lord put to Bartimaeus. What do you want me to do for you? It's a great question for all of us to reflect on. What do you want God to do for you in your life at the moment? Do tell him. He wants to know. He loves you. He's the God of compassion who stops for the one blind beggar. He's a great and amazing God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the Lord Jesus, for his compassion, for who he is, the Son of David, the Son of God, the Anointed One. We thank you, Lord God, that he rose from the dead after that crucifixion that he prophesied of. He reigns in heaven. Heavenly Father, we thank you that he wants the very best for us. Thank you that he once said, I've come that you may have life, life in all its fullness. Thank you that he only has our very best interests at heart. And so, Lord, help us to be honest and real with you today, to tell you what we most want you to do for us in our lives at this time in April 2014. Thank you that you will hear us honestly and patiently because you love us. We thank you for such love on this day of Palm Sunday when we celebrate the King of Kings. We pray in his precious name. Amen.